Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show here. Let me pull up the text and scroll up.
No! Stop. Don't you dare.
I'm the only person that gets stunned fucking twice, caps and in caps.
I'm never going to text you again.
I'm so fucking pissed. That fucking Sovereign was closer to Max than me, and it came to me anyways. I'm going to die, and I'm going to have to make a new fucking character. And I just spent $250 on cosplays. So, that's great. Love it. 10 out of 10. Cut to the end of the episode. Who's alive and who's dead? That's all I'm saying.
Listen, oh, that's perfect.
That's all I'm saying.
In my defense, I did not know about the 3 save rule. I thought once you hit 0, it was over.
Adam's so cruel. He's not that cruel.
JP, did we ever talk about when we were talking about Tomb of Annihilation, do we ever talk about the optional like XP boost rule?
Mm-mm.
Did we ever talk about this? So in that game, in that adventure, and you could easily port this to other things in DD, you can choose to make your death save 15 or higher. Oh. And if you do, you get 10% more experience.
Jeez. Oh. That's pretty rough.
Yeah. So it's like an option in that campaign. And I was thinking about that today. I was like, I wonder if anyone would do that.
Yeah, I guess if you're playing with a bunch of healers, you probably could.
Work out. And that's the trick, right? Is that you're putting pressure on the rest of your team to keep
right.
you up.
Right. But yeah, that I didn't, when I made that character, I didn't anticipate him to basically be like an animal farm. But man, did he turn into that guy quick.
Yeah. I was so surprised you had so many animal options too.
it can get really messy if you're like, there's a bunch of items that summon stuff. If you were fighting lizard men, they have shamans that can summon like crocodiles and snakes and shit.
Right.
So you can very easily end up with a party with a druid in it with like 30 or 40 things on the map at once.
Yeah, I was between the bag of tricks and the staff of the python. I went with bag of tricks because I won't lose the item. With staff of python, you have to throw it and then go get it again.
Pick it up.
I didn't want a chuckles scenario.
I was about to say you got that chuckles heartache.
That sucked.
Yeah. For past D&D. So yeah. That death actually stung a little bit. Ones that I actually played longer, I cared less about than that one. So that sucked, but I'll just make a new character. It's fine.
We have chemistry, you know?
Yeah.
I really like the name, too.
I'm interested. The thing about a death in the first part of an arc or the first arc of a show, right, is that it sets the tone. I kind of like initially I was like, oh, I don't know how this like druid buddy cop thing is going to work. But now the only person who ever accepted you for who you are is dead.
Yeah.
And now you got to deal with your rage alone. How does that feel?
Story-wise, I really like what it's going to do to the party and everything. But character-wise, I actually enjoyed playing that guy. So
maybe sad. And my pet names and everything, and they're just all gone now.
Yeah.
I want to open the next episode with the like sad piano, like staring down at the corpse like moment. I want to see your pain. Work on it. Get ready. Your motivation for the beginning of the next episode is pain and suffering.
While you're enraged.
Yeah. Go watch Grave of the Fireflies a couple of times before the next episode.
Jesus.
Then there's going to be Thorn, who's just going to be like, I fucking told you all.
Yeah, you'll be the I told you so guy.
I didn't know either. Like, I was half tempted before I even went in to be like, hey, we can cast this spell of cover and we can just try to sneak through whatever's down here. And now, like, I'm wishing I would have spoke up and said that from the beginning, because then they would have never detected us.
Do you have Pass Without Trace?
I don't remember. I closed it. But yeah, I have something like that where it puts a cloud of darkness on the whole team.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Mm. I had, apart from all like the summoning bullshit, like I had haste. So I was planning to like haste. It'd be really good on Ken. It'd be really good on, Aaron's character. There was still a lot of stuff that I wanted to do, but he died. I rolled poorly.
I felt so bad too, because it was right after I got done being so mad.
I know that's one part I actually really like. I think that's great.
Yeah. The narrative of that.
So it was hard for me because jumping into playing D&D at this level in a campaign like Court of Swords, which is known for its sort of brutality. On the one hand, it was hard because I was like, I really don't want to make this first episode like just really unfun for Aaron. I don't want to just be like, yeah, he just like beats you up and you're dead and fuck you, Aaron.
Right.
Thanks for playing. See you again next week. But I also was like, well, I have to be uncompromising. I have to just be like, this is how it is. You're a grown up. You can handle it. So here we are. And you learned the lesson of Court of Swords, but what's funny is you didn't have to learn it yourself. You learned it watching JP get murdered.
But I mean, it was interesting too with this character though, because I felt like there was the really high highs of like, I feel like I made the character really well. And that anytime I used my longbow, I was just annihilating everybody. So there were like those really proud moments. And then it was like, and then I just like happened to roll shitty. And then I'm just out now and I'm being carried away by some giant monster mushroom man. And like, this is just how it is.
He just wanted to make you mushroom bride to his mighty decay god.
Let him. It would have made my character not die.
You're a mushroom man now.
I thought, and I think maybe the cast did as well, but I'm curious to hear what you guys thought or think. I thought that we were going to be able to talk our way past that group when they started off so passive. And that's why, like, when Ken was getting carried away, I was like, oh, I mean, that's fine. Ken. It's not a big deal.
I mean, yeah, there were all the signs of it being threatening, but only one person tried to talk, and he was just like, yes, I would love to see your weird mushroom god, right?
It's like, take me straight to him.
Yeah. So they were like, oh, good, the meatlings have come to sacrifice themselves to the mighty mushroom god. Yeah. And then when you fought back, they were like, oh, wait, they're rethinking things. Well, and then it got all tense and you had to fight. But yeah, I think that could have gone a different way. I think that if you had started off by being like, no, we're not here to see your mushroom god. Where's our river lady? But you never know, right? Rolls could have just been like, cool, yeah, you say that, and he just gets mad and punches you.
Yeah.
When I was doing it, I was like, okay, I don't need my axe. Sure, take my axe, whatever. I'll turn into an animal. No problem.
Yeah.
And they started carrying me away, and I was like, okay, there's five of them going with me. Great. So if things go sour, I got five.
You got it.
The rest of the group will be able to handle the rest.
Yeah.
But then, like, I got stuck. You guys can even see what I was doing up there. I was stuck in this little corridor.
Right.
For, like, 8 turns.
Well.
Slashed in the dark because I forgot Bear doesn't have dark vision.
I think play-wise, everyone backed themselves up against the corner that entire fight. Like
Max.
Yeah, though. Max and Aaron were pushed up against the left side. You were in the top right, and I was down in the south. We were kind of completely separated.
Well, the first part of that fight, too, I want to just create distance from them just so I can, try to do damage while they were taking their time to move towards me, because I figured they were going to move that fast because they're mushroom people.
Right. Yeah.
And then once I started getting backed up, that's when I peaced out, once I realized I could still help support Aaron from afar, and it would actually might be better because then I could... I was happy with the way I played the rogue, which was a complete difference of play style from when I played Velimir the first time trying a rogue. That was absolute shit. So I was happy being able to actually like play the rogue a little more properly this time around.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun seeing you come back to that place.
Yeah, totally. After, it's full circle
after playing this, because Velimir was your first like 5e experience really, and we've played lots since then. And yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, we've played almost
200 hours.
He was
a cool character, but mechanically, I was so new to rogue and even 5e at that point, and I was just like, So now it's neat being able to. I can even just tell, like, as I'm doing it, like, I'm like, yay, I can do this cool thing.
And that speaks to what Aaron was saying about, I think that's really important, that feeling of like, yeah, I'm using my abilities the way I'm supposed to use them. And I made my character good. And I'm doing the thing. Look at me rolling plus 12s. Like, I'm great. That's like, that's part of the, the vibe of the game. I really like it.
So sad.
You're sad.
Well, I mean, like the whole, like, like my character did what he's supposed to do. He took like probably almost 200 damage.
It was just so
far away from you guys that we couldn't take advantage of it. Like you could have got all your sneak attacks.
Yeah.
And all of the bonuses, and I would have just been absorbing the damage. But instead, I was far away, and then you guys had to deal with them getting in your face. And
I think
you're rolling at disadvantage and wasting turns on disengage and stuff like that.
Right. I think the safest play for me would be to have gone towards Max and Aaron rather than going south. I think at that point there was just so much shit on the map that it was really hard for me to figure out exactly what's going to be the best course of action. And then by the time Adam thankfully started removing things off the map one by one as they died, I realized that I was in a really shitty spot and I couldn't really run past him.
Yeah.
Had that shove would have worked, I probably would have been a lot better. But I think that's where I rolled the one or whatever. I rolled the one, he rolled the three. So it was really just as most deaths are, it was a series of bad rolls that led to that.
Yeah,
I don't know. You guys got a bag of tricks now. I got to figure out what I want to play. I don't know if we need a healer, because like all the damage that we take is damage that gets healed from Ken just shapeshifting.
We've learned this in D&D that the only hit point that matters is the last one.
Yeah.
Like if you can bring someone back from being unconscious, it doesn't matter if they have 100 hit points or 10 hit points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'll play. I guess we could go.
Be a dwarf buddy from the village, and you've come to see what's up. You know.
Yeah, I mean this is classic D&D. You could be someone who was captured by the Myconids, right? That is rescued by the party.
Yeah.
Kill the big mushroom, and you'll come out of it, and we'll be like, "Whoa,
son! All right, sure, come with us." Son of mushroom guy.
Yeah, I'm son of mushroom guy, which is actually just Akish Nugal reborn as a mushroom guy.
He's a mushroom revenant.
Yeah.
I was so worried about dying in this, like when I really liked my character, that I considered being like, also I'm a twin.
Nice.
So cheaty. I can't do that. But I was like, when Adam was like, so let's talk about your backstory, I want to be like, well, I have a twin sister also.
Just a little.
I was born in a cloning farm.
Yes.
Exactly. I'm one of 700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. Thorn has a brother called Loudthorn.
In terms of like keeping the show like dark and horror themed, what do you think, Adam? I thought it was fine until I turned into a draft horse.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's real hard. I've talked about this lots. Horror and it's like really scary, hard. Really hard to do, especially in a game like D&D, because it's so mechanically focused. Unless you just ignore the rules, which Core Sword is not about. So yeah, it's hard because it's like playing a board game, and what you really care about is like making attack rolls and moving and stuff. And so a lot of the horror just has to come from me putting up set pieces,
right,
and your characters responding like appropriately. But it's tough. It's really tough to do.
I don't know. Like this entire episode was mechanically based, right? It was just all fighting. Now, it could be cool to, like, I'm assuming that's where the horror would come from predominantly, is the RP. If we're in a scenario and we're talking to like a creepy, you know, like NPC and things like that, then maybe this the scarier
I think part the, of, the you trick know, it can come out. The with. Trick is, like, for me, and I've been thinking about this a lot for this arc, is that to play D&D fair, you have to play as much by the rules as possible so that it doesn't feel like if you die, it doesn't feel cheap. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like that's what happens. Like you're okay with it because those are the rules. But a big part of horror is feeling helpless. And if I'm like, cool, the evil necromancer scowls at you and conjures a black mist in his hands, you could be like, fuck you, man. Let's roll initiative. Right. Yeah. Cool. I turn into a horse. I throw 26 scimitars at him. Like it's not scary anymore because you know you're not helpless because you have all these rules that empower you to murder things. And the only way to really bypass that is give you things you can't kill, which skips using those rules for anything, or just be really cheap and be like, yeah, cool, guess what? He's a level 46 lich. He just power kills all of you. Yeah. Right? Like it's a very difficult thing to do with D&D. And so for us, it's got to be the stuff outside of combat. Combat can't be where we try to get the scary stuff from.
Let's for the live show, hire a spooky narrator to just fade in over our audio every now and then. And he just describes things that we'll just tell him to do Vincent Price impression the entire time.
JP said, everything will be okay, guys. It was not okay. JP knew.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
and I think that's the trick, is that losing a character doesn't contribute to it being like horror. It's just like it's bad. But like losing a game is not horrific in and of itself. It's all this stuff. It's like how Aliens isn't as scary as Alien, because James Cameron just like, here's all the aliens. Here they are. Look at them all.
Right.
Whereas Ridley Scott was like, something is hunting them. What is it? What's happening? Right. Ridley set up this horror situation, whereas Aliens in Alien 2 is it's an action movie. Right. So we're playing an action movie. We're trying to wring something scary out of it. So it's tricky. It's a challenge for sure, but it requires that we all kind of like stay on board.
We
got
to buy into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Player characters being scared.
Yeah. And again, I think the character death is only going to add to that. That'll only help it more than anything.
Are you going to haunt me? Are you going to play your new character and haunt me at the same time?
that's happened before in some other shows where we had a character die and then the brother, RP wise, the brother of the character that died carried around his head. Because he was trying to bring him back to life. So he kept his head around. And every once in a while, when it was just the two of them, the actual player would just start talking as the head. Like he was hallucinating. And they would have conversations back and forth. And that was kind of cool. But yeah, I might like Force Ghost type bullshit. I think that fits into the primeval, or rather primordial.
Well, because reincarnation isn't a thing yet. So there are a lot more like ghosts and stuff in the world than there would be in the modern Court of Swords. So,
yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I think I could definitely do something like that. I just don't know what the whole class aspect is something I got to figure out. Adam, if you want to swap the Roll 20 page back to that black and white page so I can look at that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
I'll just roll characters.
Send you back there.
The one other thing that I did mess up, it didn't matter so much. The draft horse was not necessarily the best thing to turn into because I forgot that I was level 4. So I could have turned into, you joked, but I could have turned into a reef shark, which would have been real weird, but it would have been a lot better.
Reef sharks aren't that big. You got lots of room to swim around.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have been encumbered by the movement speed, I would imagine, right?
Right, right. Or I could have turned into a giant seahorse, and that would have been really stupid.
Seahorse would be that'd be a different situation.
Yeah, yeah. There's an ape, a black bear, crocodile, swarm of insects. That would have made sense. Honestly, that's probably the most like RP one that made sense. But I don't know what class should I play. What do you guys vote? What do you think?
I think you should come back at the giant mushroom spore.
And anytime you talk, it's just vibrating sounds. Just fucking.
We got range. I mean,
you were talking before about being a sorcerer.
Yeah.
I know you want to be like in mainline. You want to be a wizard. So.
Right.
I mean, similar stuff, but
very similar, but different at the same time.
Yeah.
Wild magic might kill us all, though. I'd be a little bit fearful of that.
I'm always happy to have assistance in killing everybody.
Plus, I honestly think it'd just be so stupid if it's like, all right, guys, welcome to the spooky live show of Halloween Horror Court of Swords. JP randomly summons a unicorn.
Yeah, it's pretty goofy. Yeah,
it's kind of ridiculous.
It's not a special holiday edition of Daikia. We need to have some amount of control over the narrative.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe there's like there's different wild magic tables that would make sense, or you could just slide in something else that makes sense for the unicorn crap. Because there's really silly stuff. There's like fireball targeted on you, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's
just
true.
Wipe a party. So I don't know. I'll try to figure it out. I can't play cleric, right? That's not in there. And bard or druid would be the only healers, or paladin. What are paladins like in the primordial world?
So they don't serve because there are no gods. They just serve they're like Jedi, basically. They serve the like ambient magical energy of the universe.
No plate armor would be kind of shitty paladin, though.
Yeah, they tend to be like wandering, like healers and warriors.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll figure something out. And I'll probably just make the character on, I might just record on my own. I don't think you need to be there for that, Adam. I'll just roll stats.
Double barbarian.
I'm really looking forward to when Xanathar's Guide comes out, because there's a bunch of new classes.
Yeah, I was looking at those last.
There's like samurai and stuff.
Well, there's like four new subclasses for druid, or three new subclasses for druids that are all real fucking cool.
There's all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anything else you guys want to add, Max or Aaron?
No, it was cool. It was interesting. Like I said, that's not how I saw it going, but when I saw the like, oh, we're going with these four guys. Mm-hmm. And then as a character, I was like, what the fuck?
we're buds now. It's fine.
Yeah.
It was fun though. It was cool.
Cool. All right. Well, that'll do it. We'll be back next week with more. I'll roll up a new character. Probably I'll make a video for that, I guess. It'll be a little boring though with me. Just maybe I'll just do like an overview of the character rather than just making the entire character while being recorded, because I don't want to sit in front of a camera by myself talking to myself in a room.
Hey, you mean you could just stream it, and then you could get lots of opinions about what you should do with your character.
Yeah, that's one of the last things I want to do for sure. So
yeah,
we'll get some posted up here on Patreon for that. So that's it. We'll be back next Tuesday. We got one more show to go, then the live show. So Aaron, you got to live just once more, then you don't have to worry about the cosplay. All right. Yeah.
And then you only have to survive 8 hours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can die in the first 5 minutes. You just wear that cosplay, because what the fuck else are you going to do?
Just once. I just wanted to do it once. I spent all the money and I bought the whole thing. It's a big elaborate thing.
Me too. And I have a big cat suit that I'm going to wear.
The chances,
it's made out of straight leather.
Like, we've played a bunch of games where the chances of characters dying are pretty low, that the game's not really about that in the live show.
Yeah.
But every time we get ready for a D&D game, I'm like, is this going to be the one where some poor jackass gets killed in hour one? And we're like,
at that point, I think we just have him go off stream and roll a character. Or have them go off stream and just roll a character for the next hour or something like that. And then take a break.
We'll figure out a contingency.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe just didn't we plan to go to the first Court of Sword show with extra characters made?
I think that was the original plan. Yeah,
yeah. We might do something like that. Maybe on maybe that Friday for mic test, we can roll characters or something on the table. That'd be fun. But yeah, that's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time. Thanks everyone for watching and for your support here on Patreon. We're out. Bye-bye.
Bye bye. Bye.